Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, and in this, the Wednesday, May... I'm not going to give a specific date because I know we're like 3 days late. So whatever. It's the kind of beginning, possibly middle of May edition of the program. We will tell you about Hayashi on Britain's Got Talent, Todd Robbins' new play, Play Dead, that is being produced by Teller, David Blaine's new and possibly final stunt and how Criss Angel ruined a luau. But here to talk with me about all of this was, one of the favorite people that I met at the Magic vs. Science Week at the Magic Castle. He can be seen at the Venice Beach Freak Show. He is no longer the freak show or the freak prodigy. He is now simply Brett Loudermilk. Brett, how you doing, buddy?
I am fantastic. How are you, Justin?
I am doing A-okay. And just for anybody who was at Magic vs. Science, you came out and worked with Bizarro down in the WC Field bar area, and you were doing your sword swallowing. How'd you get involved in the Magic vs. Science thing?
Well, I'm a good friend of Bizarro's. We've been friends for a few years now, and he called me up and said, "Hey, you know, I'm doing the Magic Castle for Rudy Kobe, and I thought maybe I could make you a part of it." So I came Thursday and met Rudy, and Rudy was like, "Yeah, definitely. I want you to do something, swallow some swords. That'd be awesome."
Yeah.
And Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I went in and did a little 7-minute piece of my act. So,
you know, and that and look, we have talked about this goddamn week to death, and you know, I kind of want to get a little self-conscious whenever I start. I find myself talking about it because I do it constantly on,
It was a great week.
But it was so awesome. And this is, I'll make just this point because you're on the podcast. This is how awesome it was, because you could, like, go down to, like, the talent would not be contained even to just the rooms. Like, they, you know, out in that area outside of the WC Fields bar, you had a show with Brett Bizarro and Dan Sperry, or no, I guess you were there after Dan, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was Dan Bizarro and Dan Sperry
at one point. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, for one night. And that's insane. For all of you guys to be doing a kind of cabaret act where you're all just doing your best stuff. I mean, it was what, maybe 20 minutes of the, like, when the three of you were doing it, maybe a little less when it was just you and Bizarro. Like, that's great. I mean, it's just so fantastic. And I unfortunately didn't get to see your act when you were performing at the castle. I was able to see you swallow swords just randomly afterwards one night in Brian Brushwood's hotel room.
yeah, that was fun.
It's just, all right, it was so awesome. Well, let's get in to the stories. But actually, before we do that, let me go over one of our sponsors. Of course, it is Trick Shop Magic. They are located in Old City, Temecula, California. But you, my friend on the internet, can find them at trickshopmagic.com. They got all sorts of stuff that you need in your life. Please do me a favor and head on over to iTricks and just type in Trick Shop Magic, and you will see all the posts from the last couple weeks with the newest magic effects at the best prices. Head on over to trickshopmagic.com right now and buy stuff and tell them iTricks sent you. Our first story this week, a samurai-themed mentalism act by Hayashi wowed the judges on Britain's Got Talent. Now, you can go ahead and see the video. Well, you find a link to the video up on iTricks. But let me ask you this, Brett. As a sideshow performer, how much do you feel that you need to dress up, you know, I don't want to say well-worn, but certainly traditional geek effects like swallowing a sword or, you know, eating glass and some of the stuff that you regularly do in your act? Do you think that the visceral effect of doing that stuff will always shine through, or do you want to differentiate yourself from somebody who just does that act that has been done by people before?
Well, see, what I try to do, I don't do, you know, any magic. Well, okay, so I do like one magic trick, but
what do you do?
I can't tell you that.
Why not?
Because it's the it's supposed to be real.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't ruin it.
Well, then don't. All right. But I mean, enlighten people on some level on generally, you know, why you do. You have to say the effect. But like, you know, what was the reasoning for doing the magic trick as opposed to, you know.
Because it's impossible otherwise.
Okay.
So, you know, I wanted desperately to do this and there was no real way to do it. And so you fake it. But, you know, I'm not opposed to doing that, but at the same time, the effects that sideshow performance gives, the deep emotional impact that people have when they see someone swallow a sword or eat light bulbs or walk barefoot over a broken bottle or snap a mousetrap on their tongue.
Yeah,
it's so deep and there's really. I don't use any gimmicks or anything like that to make it better or set it apart. But what I do is my style of presentation, because I mean, as you know, everybody says it's not about what you do; it's about how you do it.
Yeah.
So you know, my main goal is to make it watchable, because a lot of performers out there, people that do. Sideshow stunts, they don't really take that into account. They don't want to get everyone. They look for a niche audience that wants the gross out factor, that wants to see the craziest, most hardcore things they can. And I'm not into that. First of all, I don't like hurting myself. I don't like pain. So, yeah. You know, and that sounds crazy because I swallow swords and eat glass, but I know how to do those things, and it's relatively pain-free when I do them.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's...
So, I mean, it seems like you don't mind pain when you start doing something with the idea that the better you get at it, the pain will reduce on some level to a manageable or negligible level.
It hurts the first time. You know?
Yes.
You get used to it. You understand what's about to happen when it happens, and you know how to deal with it properly.
Yeah.
You know, I some of the things that people are doing, like, you know, just, I, for example, a prime example would be skewering your body, you know, the human pincushion act, you take a legit, not Harry Anderson style, you take a legitimate needle and you shove it through your bicep or your forearm or your hand or your chest, wherever. I don't do that. Because it's
that will hurt every
it
time,
hurts.
Right?
It hurts no matter what. And you know, I can't find, you know, I don't want to do like, you know, fetish clubs and things like that. I don't want to limit myself to these bizarre forums for entertainment. I want to go with it wherever I can, comedy clubs and you know, the Magic Castle, anywhere like that.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, it seems that at some level for you as a sideshow or freak performer, you have to there's that fork in the road where it's like to stick out, either I continue to find new and inventive ways to be completely physically, you know, bizarre or push the limits of what an audience would think to be physically possible, or you dress up the acts that you can do that are appealing in that kind of visceral way and make them different from the way that other people do it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I come out, you know, either in a suit or, you know, like ruffled shirts or whatever. I look like this dopey kid walking on the stage. You don't expect me to do
look
what
like,
I do.
Sure.
You know, I don't look like a freak. I'm not pierced or tattooed heavily or anything like that. I look like somebody from the audience almost.
Yeah. That fine, that sword pin you have.
Oh, very, yes. That the fine, look. That, yeah, that, you know.
Oh, that bobble.
yeah. One of my many pins.
Well, anyway, check out that Hayashi clip. I suggest to everybody, and it really is a kind of an example of what we were talking about just now in terms of, you know, taking something that, I mean, the method, if you know mentalism, the method is kind of dirt dumb simple from the beginning, although obviously wielding around a samurai sword in front of live television cameras are probably, you know, it's something that will not be advised for everybody on the earth. But at the same time, it's very, very cool. It's a great way to dress up a method that you might think either is, you know, boring or at least predictable for those of you who know the art of mentalism. Let me ask you this, Brett. You went to Vegas recently, and now, did you see Play Dead, the new Robbins play as directed by Penn and Teller?
Well, directed by Teller.
Yes. What did I say?
You said Penn and Teller.
Oh, no, just Teller. Mr.
Just Teller. I went last week, and Todd wasn't doing the show yet. They were still putting it together, getting things going. To sit in and hang out with Todd and Teller, and Matt Holtzclaw is also helping out with this project, and Johnny Thompson. And from what I saw when they were rehearsing some of the pieces in the show, it's wonderful in every aspect of that word. It is wonderful and scary and surprising and dark.
Yeah.
And Luke Germain just saw it and posted on Facebook that he really enjoyed it. And I'm going to go see it next week. But from what I saw and from what I know from being around Todd, it's going to be amazing.
Now, what is some of the energy around the performance? Were people nervous? Were they just excited to get it out in front of people?
Todd's been working on this project for a long time, so he's really excited, and so is Teller. You know, everybody's just ready to get it going and make sure everything goes off without a hitch, and I think so far it has.
Yeah. Now, do you know Todd from New York? I mean, you mentioned before that you were out on Coney Island for a little bit.
Yeah. I've known Todd for several years now. Todd's like a dad to me. He bought me my first suit.
Oh, really? Jesus.
Yeah. It was electric blue, but the suit nonetheless. And you know, he taught me how to swallow swords and eat light bulbs.
Oh, wow. And, wow.
He taught me how to swallow swords over the telephone.
Good Lord.
So that gives you an idea of how amazing his abilities are.
Yeah, oh my God. It just makes the video that we put up of OMG Chad, he just seems spoiled now that he had two sword swallowers giving him a handy little step-by-step instruction. By the way, for anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about, head over to youtube.com/JustinRobertYoung and you can see a video of Brian Brushwood's road assistant, Chad Johnson, a.k.a. OMG Chad, who decided randomly to just he got a wild hair up his butt that he wanted to start swallowing swords. Well, Brett, and I'm sorry, I forgot your girlfriend's name. What is her name?
Bree.
Bree, who was fantastic, and she was awesome. And she, I guess, was in Freaks, right?
She was in Freaks in Vegas.
But yeah, you guys were nice enough to oblige his random wish to learn how to swallow swords, and he did it to comedic effect then. But that's great. So Todd Robbins explained to you over the phone. How does that even come up?
I was around 15 when I learned how to swallow swords. And Todd was the first person I ever saw do sideshow. And it was on television when I was really young. Around that time, I actually learned blockhead when I was 8 years old. And for those of you that don't know what blockhead is, it's the...
Nail up the...
Yeah, it's the stunt where you pound a spike into your face, up your nose. And I learned that when I was 8 at a Renaissance festival.
Sweet.
It just sort of went downhill from there. But I found Todd on the internet, called the number on his website. It was like, hey, I should know you. And it just, I don't know, it worked out. And he taught me how to swallow swords
I don't want to paint anybody kind of a bad light, but does Todd know that you are a 15-year-old boy, like, shoving a sword down his throat at his instruction, or how did that go?
I don't know. I was,
Are you like trying to put on the deep voice? Like, Mr. Robbins, I clearly need a primer.
Swallow swords, and I need some. I don't know. I think that he saw that I had a genuine love or sideshow and a real drive. You know, no matter what, if he was going to teach me or not, I was going to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So he'd rather somebody with care and expertise show you the finer points to keep you safe.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've always had that attitude. Like if when I was younger, if somebody wasn't going to teach me how to do a stunt, you know, like the blockhead.
Yeah.
I learned from a guy named Dexter Tripp. And I just said, teach me this or I'm going to do it myself. You know, I want to learn this desperately. So please.
Yes.
You know, how can I do this without killing myself?
That is a great way to just get information when you're a kid. Just say, listen, teach me this incredibly dangerous thing or I'm going to do it myself and kill myself and the blood will be on your hands. So either you show me how to do it properly, either you show me how to fire this gun properly, or I'm just going to start wheeling it around with the safety off.
Well, my grandfather was a con man, so it's it's in the blood.
There we go. That is awesome. That is awesome. So I'll tell you, you had to email me. Let me know how Play Dead is, because I've heard from a few people who've gone to see the workshop stuff, and aside from some technical issues, the buzz is really, really good on this.
Yeah, the first night they had some issues. The second night, everything went really, really well. Todd was writing on the internet that one of the effects went too well, and nice. A member of the audience.
This is why they now need to bury a body.
Yes. a member of the audience had an emotional breakdown on stage.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, so. Well, that's not good.
Yeah, well,
great. Sorry, wait, revise that.
It's great. I mean, sorry for the guy, but it was awesome.
No, yeah, for that audience, let's rock and roll.
Yeah.
Big news breaking today. David Blaine told Interview Magazine that his new and possibly final stunt, remember that at MagiCon, the MagiCon convention out there in San Diego, Blaine told the audience that his next special would be his final special. So this could be his last stunt. He tells Interview Magazine that he was going to cross the ocean in a bottle made of glass. So as a freak show performer, where is that on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, well, I mean, I don't see the real difference between this and hanging in a glass case over the Thames.
Well, theoretically, it would be that this kind of has that, you know, hot air balloon around the world kind of thing where, you know, it's theoretically more dangerous. He could be separated more easily from a support team or, you know, the bottle could leak and he could, you know, die in the middle of the night, I guess.
But he can hold his breath for 20 minutes.
5 years, actually. I think that's the new record. He's been holding his breath since 1998.
Well, there you go. I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see. I've always loved his stunts just because the background that I come from doing what I do, I've appreciated it.
Well, I guess that's kind of the underlying theme of my question here. As a guy who does what you do, I mean, like, is there a sense where it's like, hey, that's awesome. The biggest guy in magic wants to do stuff that pushes the limits of the human body, which is what you do for a living. Or is it like, he's Kmart. He's totally, you know, a G-rated version of the kind of stuff that gets done in freak shows across the country.
No, a single sideshow performer that would do that. you know, he's definitely his own breed, and I really admire him for the stunts and things like that he's done. I don't know. I think it'll be enjoyable. Very, very fanciful, if that's the.
Oh, certainly. I don't think that you could in any way repeat what he plans to do, which just for laughs, let's do crossing the ocean in a glass bottle without looking at it as, you know, you can almost, when you say it, you can almost, you can't help but thinking where the idea comes from and just, you know, having this notion of Blaine with like the light bulb pop up above his head and just say like, oh, the grand metaphor, you know, he's the message in the bottle going from one lonely shore to another, you know, and to have that be part of whatever, you know, the special is.
Yeah. It'll be good. I'm sure. I would give it on a scale. You asked for a scale.
Yeah, a scale. And let's just go ahead and not even put it as, you know, all stunts in totality, but rather of the stuff he's done.
I think it's pretty crazy. I mean, he's going to be presumably in the open sea.
Yeah.
The open waters. And just kind of floating there. You know, I'm gonna say this is an 8-9. It's up there. It's crazy.
I think it is pretty good. And if this is, as he has said, his last stunt, it's gonna be very interesting because, you know, it does seem big. You know, it seems big in a way of hanging upside down in Central Park. Didn't seem big. You know, this seems obviously by sheer miles, it is the most gargantuan undertaking that he's gone through.
Right.
Of course, we also never know whether this will happen because Blaine changes his mind every 3 seconds. So, you know, this might be the same thing as staying up for, you know, a month like he wanted to do last time and then wound up changing his mind or living homeless for a month. So you never know. But this sounds cool.
And it's also kind of guy from the Fugees. Didn't some guy from the Fugees make a documentary about that? Living homeless on Skid Row?
You want to know what? I have no idea. I guess it would be...
I don't know. Some Fugees guy was like, hey, I'm going to be on Skid Row in brand new clothes and a camera crew. And
oh, really?
It sucked.
Well, I know with Blaine, what happened was he was out there and he had like this long wig. He had this really weird long-haired wig. And he was going to hitchhike. He was going to try to hitchhike across the country and only sleep on park benches and be followed by a as hidden as the camera crew could be. And we knew this because all of a sudden news reports started to pop up that David Blaine was pretending to be homeless. And we covered them on the site and we wound up getting contacted by Blaine's people to say, hey, like, magicians read your site and they're coming out to the places that you're saying we are. So please stop reporting it. Which we did out of deference to them shooting the special, but we never know. But this sounds pretty cool. Of the proposed Blaine ideas, it sounds pretty sweet. All right, real quick, Brett, let's go over where people can see you. You are at the Venice Beach Freak Show. How often are you performing there?
Venice Beach Freak Show is open most days and every weekend. From around 11 o'clock in the morning to about 6 o'clock in the evening. And it's a continuous show once you walk in. If you come in during the middle of the show, just hang out. The show will end and then restart after a break, and you'll see it all. But, in the summertime, we are open pretty much every day of the week. Every day we can stand it.
Yeah.
You know, if my foot swells up and I can no longer swallow a sword, then obviously we're not going to be open that day, but it's pretty much every day.
There we go. Now, if somebody comes down to Venice Beach and they're looking for it, whereabouts is it on that big strip of humanity?
The big strip. I like that. The big strip of humanity. it is between Brooks and Breeze, closer to the Santa Monica side. Or Santa Monica end of the boardwalk there.
Yeah. Okay.
So
do that or just try and locate it on the Google Maps in relation to one of these 17,000 pot dispensaries.
Yes. Lots of those. There's one right around the corner. So go there.
Yeah. There we go. First. There's you have never seen more guys who look like your college roommate plus 10 years. Talking about their medical degree and how they can diagnose you for a marijuana prescription.
I was walking by one of those places the other day, and I looked over because they want you to get your prescription card, and there's people yelling at you about it.
Yeah, no, they're aggressive. They're really aggressive too.
Yeah, they are. Get legal, do it.
Yeah.
God, leave me alone. I'm not a hippie. Not that, you know, only hippies smoke pot, but
yes.
You know what I mean.
I got you.
It's Venice. I saw one of the doctors. I've always wondered what these pot doctors look like. I don't even know. Yeah,
I always just assume that they're the same guys who are out there with the boards, that the guy just walks inside and puts a little stethoscope around his neck, and he's like, "Sup, dude, doctor's in. Hey, what do you got, chick knee? Pot for you, bro. Let me write you up a script."
Yeah. No, I think it's a little more legit than that. They actually have a doctor in a lab coat with a stethoscope in the back. and I saw him, and he's just this old dude, you know, just kind of hobbling around in the back.
Yeah.
And thinking like, God, I bet you got into medicine to heal the children. Now you're like a pediatrician turned pot doctor.
Exactly. And now, like, and now your main work is getting a 45-year-old out of work screenplay writer whose, you know, biggest credits are, you know, 1 2.5 Men, a prescription card.
Yes, that is what they do for a living.
Awesome. All right. Well, the Venice Beach freak show, which, you know, if you've ever been to Venice Beach, you know that this is totally legit, because there is something called a freak show outside of what Venice Beach is just normally. You guys have to stick out that much more than what goes on that boardwalk in general.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Way more than crazy homeless people inside the freak show.
Than that crazy Indian dude with the turban playing the same three chords on the stupid electric guitar.
He's amazing. He's amazing. You can't deny that man is amazing.
All right, folks, as we mentioned at the top of the podcast, one of our favorite quirky stories in iTrix history, Criss Angel ruined a luau last weekend. The Mind Freak gathered a crowd of 5,000 to watch him escape from the Colorado River near Lake Havasu for the upcoming season of Mind Freak. But herein lies the rub, friends. Most of them came out for a community-sponsored luau. What's worse, according to local media reports, the majority of the crowd went to the luau, stayed for about an hour, heard about the magic stunt, and then left, leaving what we can only assume to be the most depressing spread of roast pork and hula dancers dancing for themselves ever in history. Brett, what is the worst unintended consequence that you've ever had while performing your act?
Oh, man. It doesn't really happen, you know, when I'm doing theater show gigs in theaters or anything like that, or clubs. But, you know, at the freak show, I don't know if it's just these, like, the tourists that come in and they don't know what to expect and they've been out in the sun all day. I don't know what the combination is. But when they're standing there in the freak show watching me do some of the things that I'm doing on that stage, we have people pass out all the time. We know how to handle it, and it's become very routine. Mm-hmm. But there was this guy, and we had a travel type show filming. The Fine Living Network was doing like a thing on us one day, and this guy,
a perfect fit for their programming, of course.
Oh, yeah. Living Network. Yeah, we're the freakiest destination in the United States. So this guy, he's watching the show and passes out, falls backwards, hits his head, and is bleeding everywhere.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, what was on stage? What was he watching? Was it something particularly gruesome or crazy?
I was pounding a nail into my face.
Yeah. So, boo, you know, that's child's play. You did that at 8. Come on. Calm down, everybody.
8 years old. You know, this guy. Come on. we've had people pee their pants, which is one of my favorites.
That's always a good one. That is really, like, I think the sideshow equivalent of breaking the backboard in basketball. Like, you just know that you're really awesome if you have somebody pee themselves while you're performing.
I made this guy pee his pants.
Doing what?
And I don't know if it was sword swallowing or blockhead or what it was.
Yeah.
But he was with his girlfriend, and
even better.
I couldn't keep from thinking, you know, oh God, I hope it's their first date.
Oh, that would be the best.
That would have been amazing, because she had to go out and like buy him a new pair of shorts and bring them back. And he had to change. It was great.
That's so good. That's so good. I would love it if that's also repeated. Like, and that's how I met your grandmother. So anyway, I felt the dripping onto my foot, and that's when I knew that I was in love with your grandmother when she fetched me another set of trousers.
Yes. That's a little dirty. Yes.
Well, that's awesome. I'll tell you what, that'd be a really good way to go out of this podcast, is the thought of this man urinating on himself while watching you swallow swords at the Venice Beach Freak Show. Of course, that is where you can see my guest, Brett Loudermilk. Now, do you have a website or anything? Do you want to give out your Facebook? People can find you on there.
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook, Brett Loudermilk, just how it sounds, Loudermilk.
Yeah.
There's two of us. There are two Loudermilks. One of them plays baseball in Alabama. That's not me.
Okay. All right. In case people were confused, I'll tell you what, you got to get on Twitter, because this is, I think that your life is one of the ones that people want to hear about. People like Twitter so they can get that inside kind of, on the field sort of reporting for interesting people. Like, no one wants to hear about, you know, your ex-girlfriend talking about what dress she wants to wear to the party on Friday. They want to hear about you. Hey, a dude peed himself. Click on this link for the picture. That's what they want.
Yeah, I know. I need to get up to date on the old technology. Actually, Bizarro is designing a website for me right now. So I'll let you know when.
Well, that's good. All right. Well, stay in touch with Brett via Facebook, and he's going to get a website, and it'll be fun. And I think you should get on Twitter, because I'd follow you. I think it'd be a fun time.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Yeah.
You know. All right. There we go.
I'll tweet it up.
Tweet the S out of it. Thank you very, very much, Brett. Of course, folks, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am Justin R. Young. If you want all the latest magic news, it is at iTricks on Twitter. Or if you just want to be old-fashioned, you can head to iTricks.com for all of the latest news. Until next week, though, I am Justin Robert Young. Bang a gong.
iTricks.com.